And I'm going to invite to the podium in a moment Ms. Brooke Clark. Brooke's a classroom teacher and she's passionate about social justice and inviting young people into the heart of the church. And she engages with teenagers by challenging them to step up and be the change they wish to see in the world, to be the gospel. Thank you, Brooke.
Before I begin my response, I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional owners on the land on which we meet, the Gadigal people. I would also like to pay respect to elders past and present of the Eora Nation and extend that respect to other Aboriginal people present here today. First of all, Your Grace, you stole my whole talk. I was going to say all of that. I knew all of that, of course. I'm not a biblical scholar yet. I don't have a great deal of study under my belt. I am not an intellectual by any means in comparison to many of the other presenters that we've had today. So all I can do is talk about how this mission is relevant to my experience as a young person and as an educator, with a reflection on scripture as I do this. My name is Brooke Clark and I am a great many things. I'm a big sister. I'm a bibliophile. I like vintage fashion. I'm a space western enthusiast. I am a Catholic and I am a missionary. So by this, I am defined in my identity as a Catholic with a call to mission. So I speak to you today with two hats on. I speak to you as a young person and as a member of the church, and I also speak to you as a teacher. So not so long ago, I was this angry 16-year-old girl who was convinced nobody in the world understood me. I didn't fit anywhere. I had these two kind of views speaking in my ears. In one ear, all I could hear was, young people are a disgrace. They're only interested in drinking, abusing drugs, vandalism. I have no respect for my elders and I care only for myself. Then there was this man who stood before us. He stood before the young people unafraid to challenge us. He was unafraid to give us a place and a time in the church. He demanded that young people acknowledge their value and their unique place in the world. This man invited the young people of the world to call him Lolek and spoke the words, "My dear young people, do not be afraid to be the saints of the new millennium." I'm talking, of course, about Blessed John Paul II. The worldview of the media simply was not enough for me. I refused to accept that I am nothing but a layabout. I choose to accept the words of Pope John Paul II and accept my place as a young Catholic. We're called to be saints, so what does that mean? To me, I think that we are called to have a mission, not because we're good at it, not because I can speak with a prophet's tongue. I'm called to mission by virtue of calling myself a Catholic. So I think that Archbishop College touched upon this beautifully. We are the gospel. We are the people of the world. I'm a child of Vatican II. Perhaps I'm even a grandchild of Vatican II because I'm so young. So this idea of a universal call to holiness is not something that's new to me. It's something that's been enculturated into me since my conception as a Catholic, really, that we are the vessel by which the chaos of the world can come to order. We are the word in the world. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if we are to take that example, what that means is we go to the world and we are the example of the word in society. If we are to act in partnership with God, we are the voice into the darkness. We are the example by which the world sees the church today. So as a Catholic, I hear the word and there is a compulsion upon me to go out and do it. And be the word in the world. So I'm called to go beyond my comfort zone and I'm called to act upon the word. The word is not warm, fuzzy feelings that I keep inside of me and go, oh, gee, doesn't Jesus make me feel good? That is not the call of God. I don't think Jesus went to the cross because it felt nice. Jesus was terrified. Jesus didn't want to do it. So I think that as such, I need to take that example and go beyond my comfort zone. It's certainly not easy being a young Catholic. Not in today's society, but Jesus never said that it would be easy. He said it would be worth it. So if I want to be a saint, I have to think, the first kind of shock to me was, I'm so young. I'm so young. Who's going to take me seriously? I'm one little person. What can I do to change the world? And of course, our scriptures had the answer to that. Do not let people look down on you because you are young. Instead, be an example to believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And if I look at the examples of the church, St. Thérèse of Lisieux is a doctor of the church. She was 14 years old when she joined the convent. St. Joan of Arc was 14 when she received her call from God. St. Maria Goretti was 11 when she gave her life to save her purity. Pier Giorgio Frassati died when he was 14. When he was 24, sorry. Sorry. Jesus was 13 when he first spoke into the temple. Youth is not an excuse. Youth is not a stumbling block. My youth does not mean I have less of a place in the church. I actually think it's the opposite. God will use my youth, and he will use it to his advantage within the world. So I had these ideas. I want to be a saint. I'm called to mission. What does that mean? Does that mean Africa? If you look at me, I'm not going anywhere that doesn't have working plumbing. It's just not going to happen. So that was my terror. I had accepted this idea that, yes, I'm a saint, I'm called to mission, all these things. I was like, God, don't make me do this. Please don't make me do this. Again, Scripture had the answer, and I think it was Scripture that we had at the start of the conference. So this comes from Corinthians. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. As we can see, I was not called to Africa. I was called to somewhere that I think people would say is quite similar to Africa, the high school classroom. I think the Australian Catholic Church has a really unique perspective on education. In the early church, bishops actually said to the people, don't build churches, build schools. Schools were built as a priority in the Catholic Church, and we use school buildings as places of worship on Sunday. So education, even in the earliest conceptions of the Australian Catholic Church, was a priority. And as such, I think it is absolutely no coincidence that Australia's first saint was an educator. And I'm sure the many Josephites in the room can attest to that. So I think that teachers in an Australian context have a really unique position. And I think this is where we become a less churchy church. The world is changing. There is a changing dynamic. Our students are unchurched. They see no reason to believe in God because the teachings of the church are perceived as irrelevant to them because they're outdated and pointless. I think that the school has to remember, in some cases, we are the only face of God that students will ever see. This is a unique responsibility to us because Christ has no hands and feet in the world but our own. So we, our mission as a teacher is to be the face of Christ to these students. As teachers, we meet students where they're at in their lives. Jesus didn't meet the Samaritan woman and go, okay, fantastic, if you could get to the temple at 10 to 9, then I'll have a word with you. As a teacher, I meet young people where they are at. I meet young people who are thirsting to be more and to have more expected upon them. So I evangelize young people where they are at on their journey. And I meet young people, my peers, in that same place. So I'm called, by the words of St. Francis of Assisi, to preach the word at all times and, when necessary, use words. So in my experience as a young teacher, I walked into the classroom and really, I'm no one important. I'm someone who's very, very normal. I had this Year 10 religion class full of very, very intelligent young ladies. So they started testing me out, as young ladies do. And we were talking in class and I said something and I can't even remember what I said. And one of the girls sticks her hands up and says, so miss, do you actually believe this stuff? And my response to that was, yes, actually I do. And I think I grew a second head. The way these girls stared at me, it was shocking to them that a young person who was normal and watched the same TV shows as them and wore nice shoes could believe in God and see God as a reality in the world. And that changed their perspective on God. I think that it is important to remember that young people know when they're being coddled and they know when they're being condescended. Young people don't want an easy way out, and I think we see that in the rise of orders in Australia, such as the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, the young people that are joining up there. One of my dear friends as well has just joined the Missionaries of Charity. So I was speaking to her not long ago, and we were talking about her lifestyle and how her lifestyle has changed, and she mentioned a lot of there's quite a few rules that she has to follow, and I said, oh goodness, I don't think I could follow that many rules. And she looked at me, and with her tender and peaceful heart, she said, these aren't rules, they're freedom. And I don't think we would deny that the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity have a really extreme lifestyle, but in these rules and in this leadership, she has found freedom. As a young person, I have this burning desire to change the world. I wanted to be like the women in the books I read. I wanted to be Eowyn and slay the Witch King. I wanted to be St. Joan of Arc and free France. I thought changing the world meant a crusade to reach every single person in the world. I've grown a little bit older and I've realised maybe that's not the case. In one of those teaching moments that I think I'll remember for the rest of my life, there was a student named Laura. I taught her in a few subjects. She was a very sweet and lovely young lady. And we were just talking in class and I was speaking to her one-on-one. She said, Miss, you're the best religion teacher I've ever had. I looked at her and said, Laura, I've already written your reports, so stop trying to butter me up. She goes, no, really, Miss. In my experience, religion's just, it's been this soft subject. There's no point. There's no reason for me to be here purely because I have to. I actually stopped wearing my cross earlier this year because the whole idea of God just seemed like nonsense to me and only naive, weak people believe it. Then she moved her school uniform, moved her collar a little bit, and she had the cross back on. And she said, Miss, because of what I've seen in you, I want to start believing in God again. That is my mission. That is where I am called, and it is a minefield, and I'm grateful to God every day that he's brought me there.
Thank you so much, Brooke. I'm just going to make a stand here for a moment so you can see these fabulous shoes. There were other women in the room who remembered being young and wearing such shoes. Yes, I'm definitely in the flat, sensible stage of life.